Blog Talk Radio.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I did not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
Internet world, welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to listen to the broadcast today. Today in the United States, for all of you that are listening overseas, we are celebrating, it's called Labor Day. Lots of people, dedicated workers, are working today. I'm not one of them. I have that extra day off from work, so I'm celebrating that. But I want to take just a couple of seconds to say thank you so much for the hard work that all of you do. And we hope very soon you can be at home resting and relaxing with your families. Happy Labor Day to everyone. Today on The Cross in the Desert, I want to focus in on the subject of women's rights in Iran. I have written many blogs, I have written many books on the subject of women's rights, and the number one problem for women in Iran, among many other problems, is the veiled law, the hijab law, that you must wear a hijab when you go out publicly. And there has been protest after protest against the mandatory clothing law, the mandatory law to wear a veil when you go public. Now, most women in Iran are simply saying, look, we need to have a choice in this matter. I can't speak for everyone, but I'm speaking for me. I want to have a choice. I am tired of being forced to wear this silly piece of cloth over my hair when I go out publicly. And do you know, long ago, when the Shah's father was in power, there was a law against wearing the hijab. But as soon as Khomeini and the Islamic Revolution seized power in 1979, that all changed, and it became mandatory for women to have to be veiled when going out publicly. Well, I said all of that to say this: there are consequences, when women protest against this law. And one of them, in the latest crackdown against women who disobey or protest the hijab law, the latest example is Saba Khord Afshari. When I read her story, I was outraged at the severe sentence that she was giving simply for protesting against the hijab law. Now, if you remember on my program about almost a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, there was a young woman who stood up on an electric box in Iran on a busy street corner in Tehran. She held up a stick, and on the end of that stick was the hijab, and she became very well known and famous for this act of protesting. Well, since women have really taken to the streets, the women of Revolution Street, I call them, and have protested, the government has become even more vigilant. And the latest example is Saba Khord Afshari. I want to read her story to you. I want you to hear just how women in this example are treated in Iran. Iran has sentenced Saba Khord Afshari, a civil rights activist, to 24 years behind bars, of which she will serve 15 for protesting compulsory veiling. Saba Khord Afshari stood trial on August 19th of this year and was charged with, quote, spreading corruption and prostitution by taking off her hijab and walking without a veil, end quote, spreading propaganda against the state, and assembly and collusion. Those were the charges. The verdict was issued by the Branch 26 of Tehran's Revolutionary Court, and the lawyer of Ms. Khord Afshari was informed about it on August 27th. Her sentences were increased by one half because of, quote, numerous charges and previous records, end quote. The maximum sentence to be implemented for Saba is 15 years for promoting corruption and prostitution by removing her veil and walking in the streets without the veil. Saba Khord Afshari was repeatedly pressured to make video confessions, something that she strongly resisted and refused to do. The intelligence ministry even arrested her mother, Rahala Ahmadi, to bring further pressure and force her to make her false confessions. Saba Khord Afshari was first arrested while attending a protest assembly back last year on August 2nd in front of Danshiru Park in Tehran, and after that she was taken to Qarachark prison. She was later transferred to Tehran's notorious Evin prison. Now, right after her arrest, Khord Afshari and several other detainees posted a message on their experience and, quote, called for help via a cell phone from inside a state security force as they were being taken to jail. They were inside of a van. They got on their cell phone crying out for help. Then she was sentenced to 1 year in prison for, quote, disruption of public order, end quote, and was transferred to the women's ward of Evin prison. Khord Afshari was released this year, back in February, and while only 2 months were left until the end of her sentence, they gave her, I guess, a little clemency. After being released from Evin prison, Saba Khord Afshari and Yasemin Ariani, another civil rights activist and political prisoner, declared that being granted amnesty for their release was only a spectacle by government officials. Khord Afshari said, and I'm quoting her, "When I saw the situation of prisons closely, especially in Qarachark, I came to the conclusion that we in Iran only have the name of human rights. In fact, in Iran, there are no rights for humans, let alone respecting human rights in the prisons." Saba Khord Afshari was arrested again in early June of this year. Holding her arrest warrant, security forces went to her residence in Tehran on that very day. They inspected her house, confiscated some of her personal belongings, including her cell phone and laptop computer, and took her to the detention center on Borsari Avenue. Saba Khord Afshari was taken to Qarachark prison environment in June. Then on July 2nd, she was taken to the Ward 2A. in Evan Prison, a famous women's ward, which belongs to the intelligence department of the Revolutionary Guards, and she was put under pressure there to make forced confessions. Subsequently, she was returned to Korchak and eventually transferred to Women's Ward of Evan just this past August. I read all of that to say this to you. This is insane. Now it's 15 years for simply removing your veil, for going out publicly and protesting the hijab. The security forces are becoming more vigilant and cracking down on these women protesters because they're making an impact all over the world. And it's thanks to Masih Alinejad, who has started a movement called the Stealthy Freedom Movement 5 years ago, where she challenged the women in Iran to go out publicly, remove their veil for a few minutes, take pictures, and publish them on her account. Since that day, in May of 2014, millions of people follow the Stealthy Freedom Movement created by Masih Alinejad. I want you to hear how Masih has made this a very important movement to broadcast the oppression of women all over the world. Let's listen right now to her story.
It's a punishable crime to be unveiled in public. According to the laws, Sharia laws in Iran, you get lashes. You get jailed and fined. But more important than this, you won't be allowed to get an education from the age of 7 if you take off your headscarf. You won't be allowed to get a job. You won't be allowed to live in your own country. My campaign was born from a simple picture. It was a picture of me running in a beautiful street in London. It was a spring, May. The trees were full of blossoms. And I wrote a caption on my picture that every time when I run in a free country and I feel the wind through my hair, it just reminds me of the time when my hair was like a hostage in the hands of the Iranian government. I ask women whether they want to share their pictures with me, selfie moment of freedom with me. I was bombarded by pictures from women inside Iran being unveiled. So I created my Selfie Freedom page on Facebook, which now has more than 1 million followers, on Instagram, more than 1 million followers, and it's all about freedom. It's all about dignity. It's all about choice. I grew up in a small village, which is close to Caspian Sea. When I get homesick, the only thing that makes me feel home and happy is just going to nature, climbing the tree, going to mountain, or walking the seaside. Just reminds me of home. Kitchen in the village are designed for women. It's shorter because women are shorter than men. So I remember I used to say to my brother, I know this is short for you, but there is a chair. Sit down and wash the dishes. So that shows that I started my feminist movement, my feminist revolution from my kitchen. That is important for women. We have to start being a rebel in our house. My mother never had the chance to go to school, university, never. She's not even able to read and write. But to me, she's the true feminist. My father, he has stopped talking to me. He doesn't support me. He thinks that I'm against Islam, I'm against my own country, I'm betraying my country. But I think these are all happening just because, you know, the government really brainwashed like people like my father. Otherwise, my father loves me. When I was a student, I got kicked out from high school just because of my opinion. And then I became a journalist, parliamentary journalist. I got kicked out from the MPs just because I exposed the corruption. I became a columnist. Then again, because I criticized the president of Iran. It was just a week before the controversial election, 2009, my car got vandalized in Iran. And two of my journalistic cards was under my vehicle wheel. So that was a message for me that, you know, it's gonna happen to you as well. So I decided just, you know, to leave the country. I launched my Selfie Freedom, but after 3 years, it was everywhere. So like the president of Iran knew about it, talked about it, all the media around the world, the media inside Iran, Iranian state TV, clerics. And I thought, oh my God, now this is the time. We have to shift the online movement to something offline. These people need to identify each other. So in 2017, I decided to actually, you know, pick a day, pick a color, and help these people to identify each other in public. These women on White Wednesdays, they are lonely soldiers, lonely warriors. I called it a one-person demonstration because they never have the permission to take the street. They will be shot, they will be, you know, into prison, they will be tortured, but they are brave. They found their way to protest against oppression. This is the time. Men should get involved in women's movement. So I created another campaign called Men in Hijab. The government of Iran want to control the society because they know that this generation is not going to keep silent. They found social media as an alternative media to express themselves, to be loud and to break the censorship. That is why the social media itself is a threat for the Islamic Republic of Iran, so they try to block it because they see this as the main battleground and they don't want to lose control. One is one day women in Iran have the power to run the country. My dream is just to see women are as equal as men.
You just heard the brief story of Masih Alinejad, the founder of the Stealthy Freedom Movement in Iran. For 5 years, she has dedicated her life as a former journalist in Iran. She now lives in exile in New York. This movement on social media has absolutely exploded from the tiny beginning to where it is now. To bring attention to women who take off their veils, post pictures, share stories for freedom for women in Iran. She's done a tremendous thing for this movement. It's very dangerous to remove your veil. The control of women in Iran, the oppression of women in Iran continues. But mark this, Masih's movement has brought attention to these women, these young women, like nothing else in the world. And I totally support that. But for someone like a Sabahkord Afshari, we need to be a voice for her. We need to continually pray for her and post her story as many times as we can right here on Facebook, social media. And on Instagram, I have an account as well where I post stories about women's struggle for freedom in Iran. Also, you can follow Masih Alinejad. She posts videos of activists on this day called White Wednesday, where they take off their veil. And you can see these videos and these confrontations with women on her Instagram account as well. And so the message of women's freedom is constantly being trumpeted. But the only solution for all of this, and this is why I do what I do, The only solution for all of this, for women and men both, to have freedom in Iran is God. God one day is going to break the chains of darkness holding men and women in Iran captivity. I believe that with all of my heart. I know that I do that with this goal in mind, that men and women will find their ultimate hope and freedom in Jesus in Iran, that one day that will happen. I've seen the Lord answer prayer and move mightily in so many ways, and he's answered so many incredible prayers on behalf of my Iranian friends over the years. I know this will happen in his time for his purpose. Human rights, as important as it is for my Iranian friends, is only a glimmer to the real situation that God wants to work in Iran, and that is bringing hope and freedom to all Iranians in the person of Jesus. It is when the power of the gospel breaks the chains of darkness in Iran that this law against women and all laws, all unjust laws, will be eliminated. It is when Jesus himself brings hope and freedom to Iran that we will see a dramatic change, and that is what I'm looking forward to. I want to update us on a story I've been carrying for the last 3 years on the cross in the desert about Nazanin Ratcliffe. You know, she was taken prisoner, almost 3.5 years ago. She is an Iranian-British dual citizen, and she left the UK in March of 2016 to visit her parents. She brought her daughter with her. On her way back home after Easter, leaving in Tehran, she was arrested and accused of being a spy. The Iranian government specifically targets UK British citizens, dual nationalists from all over the world, to use them as political pawns in their ongoing fight to have the sanctions removed against the government. And so this precious lady has been falsely accused of something she's not guilty of simply because she's useful as a political pawn. Now, the situation has just grown intensely worse for the last 3 years. It was just a few months ago that her husband, Richard, staged a hunger strike along with his wife, Nazanin, in Iran outside of the Iranian embassy in the UK where he lives. And this went on for about 2 weeks until Nazanin herself, afraid that it would hurt her so much that she may never be with her daughter again, decided to end the hunger strike. Well, now, the latest information about Nazanin is very grim. Richard Ratcliffe, her husband, he warns of serious threat to the mental health of his wife in Iran because of the new harsh jail terms that were imposed. In this article from The Guardian, Richard says, "Please free my wife. I fear she will take her life." He told The Observer he was afraid that the new harsh jail conditions imposed just a week ago could lead to deterioration in her mental health, and it could trigger a suicide attempt. And why? She is no longer permitted to call Richard in the UK, and she has been told she can only see their 5-year-old daughter, Gabriella, once a month. Now, previous to that, she had been allowed to see her daughter twice a week. The new escalation I would worry about is a more severe hunger strike where she ends up in hospital or a suicide attempt, says Richard. I know she's despairing, and that's what she's been saying would happen next. So she has indicated that this could lead to her just taking her life because of despair of being in this prison now for over 3.5 years. Nazanin has been having suicidal thoughts since her second hunger strike failed to secure her release back in February. She has regularly been talking about how she cannot go on. In my phone calls, Richard says, I would try to reassure her that there are reasons to be hopeful. Obviously, that's been all taken away. For me, the worry is if she stopped from being given reasons to hope in a context where she's got reasons not to hope, it will affect her morale, and what then she decides to do next could be a suicide attempt. Ratcliffe said He thought Nazanin would find the separation from her daughter particularly hard. In the past, he has been able to persuade her to promise not to attempt suicide, but his wife's mental health suffered when she was handcuffed to a bed and held in solitary confinement in a mental health ward for 6 days and then returned to prison. After that, she told me she wasn't sure she'd be able to keep her promise to me. So what Richard is saying, he wants the British and Iranian governments to understand how urgent this situation is. You've got weeks to solve this now. I don't care how, but you've got weeks to solve this before the situation deteriorates. Last week, Ratcliffe revealed he had been offered a high-level meeting with either the Prime Minister Boris Johnson, he's the new Prime Minister, or the Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab since they took office, despite Johnson's claim that he felt a deep sense of anguish over her plight and having promised to prioritize her relief during his leadership campaign. So there has been not much movement with the new Prime Minister. And this fight continues, but we want to specifically now pray for Nazanin, that God will do an incredible work in the darkness of her captivity and restore hope to her soul. And this is a woman that is fighting every day, that is doing all she knows how to do in this dark and dirty Evan prison to stay alive. Her husband and her daughter are so important to her, but when her daughter is removed for an entire month and she can't visit her and she can't talk to her husband, the darkness and the hopelessness begins to strangle her. So I just urge you, join me in fasting and praying if you can, for Nazanin to have hope restored to her soul, and most importantly, for her freedom to really become a reality. And so I just thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Cross in the Desert. Please keep Nazanin Ratcliffe in your prayers. Please pray for the women of Iran that they will have freedom one day. That's the whole reason I do this program. I want to thank my guests in the chat room today, Emma from Australia, Mary Brockman from the United States. God bless you both for your continued support and prayer for this ministry and for the women of Iran. I value when you come to the program and you listen and you support it, and that you share this link on your Facebook page. God bless you, Mary. God bless you, Emma. And God bless you for listening. You will have another opportunity to be a voice for Iranian women this Thursday when I return to you on the Cross in the Desert. God bless everyone. Have an incredible week. I will see you Thursday again on the Cross in the Desert.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest spring, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Love through Lord.